From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The ancestors of modern-day Native Americans lived in the La Crosse area for hundreds of years before European settlers appeared. The first Hmong refugees arrived in the area in the 1970s. Although each group has unique histories, they share current experiences. This week, organizers of a symposium in La Crosse want to address the common issues with Act 31, Widening the Circle, a Native American and Hmong Indigenous Education Symposium. It'll take place at the Hmong Cultural and Community Center, and one of the goals is to teach educators and community members to better understand the cultures. WPR's Steve Roysom recently spoke with Symposium Chair Matt Stewart and La Crosse's Hmong Mutual Assistance Association Executive Director Song Shung. Stewart explains that the conference is inclusive of many Indigenous peoples. Indigenous, he says, is a term used around the world to bring people together based on a similar spiritual, cultural, or historical experience of oppression, as well as a shared understanding of how to organize into communities.
What that really looks like is when we talk about Indigenous, that Indigenous people are not just the people who are Indigenous to an area or who are native to a specific place, because that obviously could be used for lots of different people around the world who are also at the same time dominant peoples. And the definition really is shifting. It's something that's very difficult to nail down, and it is because there's different understandings from, I would say, dominant Western ideas of the need to classify things. And so one of the best definitions I ever heard was from the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Peoples, and that was, we are Indigenous because we know we are. And I think that really speaks to the idea that Indigenous issues are also a large part about sovereignty and reclaiming sovereignty. But I think when you actually get down to it, usually the people that we're talking about are people who share a similar perspective and belief system on the world, one that's based in a relationship with the natural world and a relationship with the spiritual world. One could call that animism or shamanism or any number of different things, but I think that's really at the basis. And then in addition to that, most of those people have also faced some pretty extreme oppression at the hands of dominant cultures. And so today there's a movement amongst those people who have been historically oppressed, who share certain ways of organizing themselves into tribal communities. And we're trying to move away from certain words like tribal because there's so many connotations and stereotypes that go along with that. And so that's why this new terminology of Indigenous has really come into play.
Is the crux of this symposium mostly to have the history, the stories of Indigenous people educated a bit more thoroughly in history classes and such?
I think that's a common understanding, but the symposium is really about being a forum for teachers and pre-service teachers, people who are in education, to get a more critical understanding of education and of society around them. And one of the best ways to do that is to begin to understand how the people who have been most directly affected by our policies, by broader American policies in so many different ways, is to hear their stories, is to hear from them. And so policies of education, for example, are largely based on an assimilationist model, are largely based on how do we help to standardize kids and how do we make kids pretty much all the same. And Indigenous education, this new field of Indigenous education, offers a sharp critique to that idea. And that's really what the symposium is about, is helping everybody to understand that critique.
Song, what do we need to learn?
Learning how to critically think. And for us, I think it's one of the things that we try to get at is really challenging what's being taught in our current educational system. And when you bring in Hmong history, when you bring in Native history, that is a different perspective. And sometimes those are the counter stories that you need to tell, because if we're just learning that the United States of America is this great country that was built by, you know, X, Y, and Z, and we don't hear about the contributions of Native people, the contributions of Mexican Americans, the contributions of other immigrants that came to this country to build this country. And really, I mean, when we don't have those counter stories and those counter narratives from those populations, then we continue to believe that we are this country that's made great by X, Y, and Z and not necessarily all the other parties that have contributed so much to it. And so, yeah, I think our the, you know, what people can take away from it is those counter narratives.
Song, did you spend your entire life here in the U.S.? Did you go through high school and everything and such?
No, I came to this country when I was 9, so yeah, I started second grade. And
when you went into history class and such, did a part of you go, hey, wait a minute, when is the Hmong perspective coming into play?
And it never came because, technically or legally, according to the books, I mean, it wasn't declassified until 1995 that Hmong people were part of the Vietnam War and that the U.S. was in Laos illegally. And so, you know, it couldn't be taught in history books. And if the teachers did, they didn't really know how to teach it, and there was not a lot of books written on it, and if there were, the teachers just went on their way. It wasn't going to be taught in the standard. I mean, it wasn't going to be tested in the standardized tests, so they didn't feel the need to teach Hmong history. It wasn't until I went to college and specifically took a course on Hmong history that Hmong people were being taught.
Matt, talk about the symposium. Give us some highlights. Can people still get in? What's there to look forward to?
Yeah, people are not only can still get in, but are certainly welcome. We have so many things going on this year. It started as a small conference just about Act 31, or Wisconsin state laws mandating teachers teach about Wisconsin Native history, sovereignty, and treaty rights. But it's really grown from that into a real symposium about Indigenous education. And so what we're offering is a conference with 4 workshops per day. And on Saturday, we have a day-long workshop, which will be held over at the La Crosse Three Rivers House, specifically on historic trauma and intergenerational healing. So to help start to begin to address the effects of generations and generations of forced assimilation and oppression, and how that has changed our cultures and carries down into today. But the real exciting things for folks that aren't planning on attending the conference is that every night we have amazing keynote presentations and we provide dinner. And we do accept people at any time of the conference. We really like to follow some kind of traditional values of flexibility and patience and letting people be where they're at. And so if that means that somebody can only come for an hour, they can only come for an hour. If that means that they come in during the middle of the conference and miss some of the beginning stuff, we like to think it's because they're supposed to be there at that time. And so we are always welcoming people. All of our evening events are free and open to the public. And on Saturday night, we actually have what's going to be a wonderful performance by Tu Psycho Lee and Tall Paul. Tu Psycho Lee is a Hmong hip-hop artist and social activist, social justice advocate in the Twin Cities. He will be here working on and putting together actually a conference for young Hmong and Native folks called our Young Artist Workshop, and that will run to Sunday afternoon. And it will be that entire period in which young people are actually getting the opportunity to come and learn how to articulate the issues that they're dealing with through art. And jumping back to Saturday night, Tall Paul is an Ojibwe hip-hop artist, and he will be coming. Both of them, both Tall Paul and Tu Psycho Lee, do a lot of work around not just maintaining but revitalizing Indigenous identity and language and culture. And like I said, those evening events are all free and open to the public.
Do both of you hope that this event will get Act 31 going? The engine's there. It's passed. So there is education from different perspectives, like you were saying, Song?
Yeah. I mean, the objective of it is to help teachers better teach about Hmong culture history, Native culture history, and all that stuff. But the long-term goal is to have our kids feel included in the school system and that they are part of the educational system and that they're not just these anomalies that are outside of the school context, that they are part of the school and that they feel a part of the school.
Do kids, even these days, feel that you've noticed?
Yes. That's why there's huge, there's rates of truancy, dropout, gangs, all that stuff with our kids. And a lot of it is because they don't feel that they're a part of their school or they're part of, American culture.
I would like to add to what Song said about that and to say that it's not just, it is, and probably most importantly, for our teachers to begin to start to recognize their own bias and the way that they are cultural workers and help to make students feel marginalized in the way that our system is a very cultural system. But it's also for non-Hmong, non-Native students to be able to start to think and be more critical about not just our society as a whole, but even their own schooling and what's it for, what's the purpose. And I think that we often become a supportive place for people to begin to have those discussions. I would love to see the day in which all teachers were excellent at in including other perspectives into their classrooms, not just history teachers or English teachers, but math teachers and science teachers were to become more critical. But I think one of the big things that this symposium does serve as is kind of that safe place, in a way almost a retreat for those teachers who are trying to do this work or who would like to do this work, but they may be the only one in their school, and to try and give them some of the tools to reinforce what they're doing or what they would like to do to work with their students to become more critical. And oftentimes, if we can get really the promotion of Act 31 or ideas like Act 31, I think if we can get a few individuals in every school and every district, that really goes a long way to helping students at least recognize that there is somebody in that school that maybe helps them to feel good about who they are or who recognizes them for what they are bringing to the classroom as well.
Act 31, Widening the Circle, Symposium Chair Matt Stewart, and La Crosse's Hmong Mutual Assistance Association Executive Director, Song Shang, recently spoke with WPR's Steve Roysom. Act 31, Widening the Circle, a Native American and Hmong Indigenous Education Symposium, is underway now and goes through Sunday, mostly at the Hmong Cultural and Community Center. A link to the symposium can be found on our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Follow us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.